It's another episode of Feel Better Friday. Last week, we talked about COVID-19 vaccines, and this week, we're going to delve a little bit more into some other vaccines that are more common and maybe more familiar to people listening. What would you like to start out with?
I think that we've already talked about two of the vaccines recently. We talked about the tetanus vaccine when we talked about skin injuries. And I would just like to remind people that as an adult, you need to get the tetanus vaccine at least every 10 years. And if you happen to have a tetanus-prone injury, that means an injury like one in which you have stepped on a rusty nail in the middle of a barnyard or in the middle of a boatyard, you need to renew your vaccine in 5 years rather than 10 years. There is a population that would be requested to get the tetanus vaccine, and specifically the Tdap, so that's tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis vaccine, and that is pregnant women for whom they should get that repeat vaccine every time they're pregnant, optimally between the 27th week of pregnancy and the 36th week of pregnancy. That is to help protect their newborn baby from pertussis until the baby can get its own vaccines. The other vaccine that we talked about recently was the vaccine for herpes zoster, which is the fancy name for shingles. The vaccines I'd like to talk about today are quite important for prevention of pneumonia. There is a vaccine called Pneumovax, and that is recommended for every adult over the age of 65. If a person is of Alaska Native heritage, they actually recommend starting that vaccination anytime over the age of 50. The reason for that is that the incidence of invasive pneumococcal disease is higher in Alaska Natives. You might say, what is invasive pneumococcal disease? Well, it's when you find the strep pneumoniae bacteria in some place it shouldn't be, like your blood or in the fluid surrounding your meninges, the covering of your spinal cord. Strep pneumoniae is the name of one kind of bacteria that often causes pneumonia, and it is one of the most common causes of community-acquired pneumonia, which means pneumonia you catch when you're living out in the community. It's important to be protected against that because pneumonia, while it can be treated with antibiotics successfully, can have up to about a 10% mortality rate, particularly in elders. I was surprised to learn that there are many other people under the age of 50 for which pneumococcal vaccination is recommended. And those people include folks with chronic heart disease, lung disease, liver disease, diabetes, or smokers. They don't even say how many you have to smoke in order to be subject to getting the pneumococcal vaccine earlier than age 50 for Alaska Natives or for non-Alaska Natives. Anyone with those conditions is eligible for pneumococcal vaccination, no matter the age, over age 19.
I'd like to go over some practical information about vaccinations and how to keep track of which vaccinations you should get, and then maybe go into booster shots a little bit. I know that I've lost track on several of my vaccinations, including the tetanus vaccine. And so I was wondering, you know, where do I go for that information?
The best place to go is to your healthcare provider. In the state of Alaska, there is a program called VacTrack, and they literally keep track of every vaccination given in the state of Alaska. So you can call BBAHC or your health clinic and ask them if you are due for any vaccinations. The hospital or any of the health clinics can also print out a list of the vaccinations that you've had and the ones for which you were due. If you have a private physician, they are likely to have access to VacTrack as well. And golly, back in the old days, like when my kids were little, we had those little immunization books where we kept track of what your immunizations were.
Got it. Okay. So healthcare provider is the person to go to for that. Can we go over booster shots? I know this is something that we've heard about, you know, in discussions of COVID-19 vaccine and how long they are viable for. We don't know that yet for sure. But one possibility that's been floating around has been, you know, getting a yearly booster shot, or similar to the flu vaccine, getting a COVID-19 vaccine every year. What's the purpose of booster shots?
Well, the purpose of booster shots is to increase your body's awareness of this germ that you might come in contact with so that it remembers how to fight it. With regards to the flu vaccine, for which a yearly booster is recommended, the reason for that is that the flu virus mutates every year. I personally hold the people who come up with the vaccine formula for every year in the highest regard because they have to kind of guess what flu variant is going to be floating around next year while they're making the vaccines this year. And that might be a little bit trickier because the incidence of flu was very, very low this year, likely because a lot of people were wearing masks and were socially distancing themselves from each other. So the flu did not get passed around very much. With regards to the tetanus vaccine, for which an every 10-year booster is recommended, it's to remind the body once again that, hey, remember to look out for tetanus. There is a recommendation for repeating that Pneumovax, the pneumonia vaccine, at least once after age 65, if it's been at least 5 years since your last shot. So far as the shot for shingles that we talked about a couple of Fridays ago, currently, there is no recommendation for a booster shot for the Shingrix vaccine, although there was the recommendation to take the Shingrix vaccine if you had previously had the Zostavax vaccine. So far as COVID vaccination, you are correct. We will need to wait and see what comes of research as time passes. After all, there are certainly some variations showing up in the COVID virus, and many of the vaccines that are currently in use today have been shown to be effective against some of these variants, but there may come a variant for which the current vaccines are not particularly effective, in which case a booster vaccine may be needed.
Now we're in spring. We are heading out of the typical flu season, but can you go a little bit into how the flu vaccine works? And why people might consider taking it?
No vaccine is 100% effective against the disease for which it is intended. Getting the flu vaccine is to reduce the incidence of severe disease from the flu. We run into that problem that we can't prove a negative. We can't prove that you didn't get the flu because you got your vaccine. And in all honesty, we probably can't truly prove that you got less severe disease than you normally would have if you did get the flu vaccine and then got the flu. But the reason for getting the flu vaccine is to protect yourself and the people around you. If you get the flu vaccine, you are less likely to wind up hospitalized by influenza. We've gotten so used to the flu being around that we don't really think about the fact that it kills 30,000 to 60,000 people a year. If you could prevent the death of a loved one because you got the flu vaccine and then didn't take flu home to them, that seems to me to be worthwhile.
Absolutely. I know we were talking about vaccines for adults in this session. Are there vaccines that parents should consider for their children?
There are quite a number of vaccines that are recommended for children. As anybody who's had a child and has gotten the notes from the hospital or from public health reminding them to come get their children vaccinated, I think it's important to remember that we are living in a time when some diseases have been absolutely eradicated by vaccination. Smallpox, for instance. Anybody born after 68 does not have that little scar in their arm that those of us born before 68 have, because smallpox was eradicated from the world. We do not recognize how important the polio vaccine has been as compared to people in the 1950s and 60s when polio regularly swept through communities and caused serious illness for those so affected. Let me tell a story. I've graduated from a bunch of institutions, high school, college, medical school, and out of all of those, the only graduation address I remember is the one from my medical school where Dr. Jonas Salk, the developer of the polio vaccine, spoke. And he listed the diseases that he had seen vanquished in his lifetime and he listed the diseases that we as the graduating class of 1987 faced. What I recalled with great joy is that on our 25th reunion, we were talking about that, and one of the diseases that has been certainly decreased, although not quite eliminated, is Haemophilus influenza meningitis. Despite the name, it is not a virus like influenza. It is a bacteria, and it was the leading cause of meningitis in children when I was in medical school, and has been a leading cause of meningitis leading to brain damage and deafness in children around the world, and specifically in southwestern Alaska. With the advent of the Haemophilus influenza vaccine, the incidence of that disease and the meningitis that goes along with it has dropped remarkably over the past 30 years or so. There is a great success story right here at home to say that we no longer have nearly the quantity of children with hearing loss or developmental delay related to an illness.
Wow, that's incredible. Those are the questions that I had in terms of vaccines other than COVID-19 vaccines that we've been hearing about so much in the past several months. Thank you so much for walking through those different scenarios, and I guess just reiterating to people, if you have a question about when you need your booster shot or what vaccine you might need to get, just ask your doctor.
Always good advice.